Grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The message for today is actually based upon the gospel lesson for today. It is in the gospel according to St. Mark. And I just like to read to you these following verses. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I got to tell you, the arguments that our gospel lesson talks about this morning is not a new argument. Probably been going on for a long time. And I would venture to say that it's an argument that probably takes place hundreds of times a day in our country, maybe a million times a day throughout the entire world. It all has to do, I guess, with being numero uno, of receiving glory, recognition, etc., etc. This is really a rather interesting lesson because, you see, Jesus was talking to his disciples. Now, this is probably taking place somewhere, sometime between the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, and, of course, his crucifixion. And so he tells them precisely what is going to happen to him. It doesn't look too pleasant, does it? Talks about being arrested, being crucified, and put to death. Well, not long after that, we're told, at least in Mark, that James and John come to Jesus with a question. Now, in a couple of the other gospel lessons, it kind of indicates that maybe this idea of going to Jesus was actually planted by their mother. Yeah, sometimes you got to watch your mothers, I guess, But at any rate, I have a question. Can we ask you a question? Well, sure you can ask. When you finally get to your kingdom, can one of us sit on your right and can the other one sit on the left? Do you know what they're asking there for? They are asking for positions of glory, for positions of honor, right and left. That's what that was all about. And Jesus, he asked them, "Well, okay, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with?" They said, yeah. They had no idea what he was talking about. Because, you see, the cup that Jesus was talking about was none other than the cup of God's wrath toward mankind because of their sin. His passion was Jesus drinking that cup of wrath, suffering God's anger, draining it right to that last drop where he finds himself in hell. And the baptism? Oh, we're not talking here about the good old kinds of baptisms we have. No, we're talking about baptism with fire. We're talking about the baptism of being put to death, executed. And not in very nice ways. That probably went right over James and John's head. They said, "Sure we can." And Jesus said, "Well, you are going to be." But lo and behold, this gets interesting now. Because you see, now the other 10 found out about the fact that, James and John requested that they have positions of honor. And so now they go and the word that is used is indignant. Now, indignant doesn't mean that they were just a little bit angry or just angry. Oh, no, they were really, really, really bad. And I could imagine if we could have had a tape recording of the conversation that started to take place between them, I think we would have been surprised. Because you could just imagine it. There would be Peter. How dare you? Why should you get a place of glory? Why should you get a place of honor? At least I got out of the boat and started to walk on water. And of course, then you could hear some of the other ones say, oh, I deserve it as much as you, and maybe even more so than you, because I did everything that Jesus would ask me to do. I don't know what you guys did. I can even imagine Judas Iscariot at this point saying, well, I deserve a place of honor too. I mean, I've been working. I've been taking care of the bankroll for this group. Oh, they all were arguing because they wanted places of honor too. They felt they deserved them. Like I said, I believe that this is something that has been argued for centuries. I remember in certain places where I would work that when we would hear of so-and-so receiving a promotion, sometimes that didn't go over too big with us, because who's he that he should get a promotion? He doesn't know anything, okay? It sometimes even happens in clergy, because, you know, you hear that somebody ended up with this great big huge church out there in who knows where, and they're making six figures, you know, maybe $175,000. And you sit back and you say, whoa, wait a second. He knew nothing. He was really stupid. How come he got that church and not one of us, you know? I don't know if you ever had any kind of conversations like that. Maybe you have, I'm sure you have. Because we all feel that we are the ones who should receive some glory, some honor. I'm going to tell you, it even happens in the church. Because there are those times that we really feel that because we're doing something in the church, that we should receive special recognition, that we should be lifted up, that we should be glorified because we're doing this. Natural. I love Jesus' answer. Notice what Jesus' answer was to them. He says, time out, boys. First of all, he told James and John, it's not up to me to choose who's going to live, sit on my right and on my left. Oh, no. That's the Father's. And then he says this. He who is going to be first will be last, and last first. In other words, you want to be great in the kingdom, that means you have to serve. You are to live a life of service. No. It's not about you, folks. Don't worry about your own wants, your own desires. No, you're going to serve. You're going to serve me, and you're going to serve me by serving others. Boy, doesn't that go against the world's ways? Because the world says we ourselves are number one. We worry about ourselves. Forget about the other people. You'll never get forward. But in the kingdom of our Lord, it is entirely different. And you know what? Thank God that it is different. Because I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't different, you and I would not be God's children at this point. I want you to stop and think about Jesus Christ. Who is he really? He is God. The second person of the Trinity. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And he became, meaning that as God, He also became true man. But he's God. God! Now, is there anybody that deserves more glory, more honor than God? Of course not. Is there anybody who deserves to be served 100% of the time, all the time? No, God does. Only God. That's Jesus Christ. But do you see what he does? Here he is. He's God. And yet he humbles himself. He who is God comes to this world, and instead of coming to be served, he comes to serve. He serves first of all his heavenly Father. It was the will of his Father that you go to that cross, because I want all people to have forgiveness. And the Son, Jesus Christ, since he was God, he didn't have to submit to that. But he submitted to that will. He even became obedient unto death. Death on the cross. That's what Gethsemane was all about. But even more so, do you realize who he serves? You and me. He comes for us. He's going to the cross for us. He's taking the punishment of your sins and my sins on himself. He's taking it all to the cross. And there he is suffering the full punishment of our sins that God had for us. That's true servanthood. He gives his entire self, his entire being for you and for me. And because he did, think about it. Because he did, praise the Lord, you and I now, through faith and forgiveness, and we're God's children. And we have everlasting life because he came to serve. Now, as his disciples, we're called to serve. That's tough. Actually, I always thought that I would like to be number uno, number one. One day, I would love to be the most important person in this world with the most power, status, etc. Can you imagine what that would be like? It would be great. First of all, instead of everybody telling you what to do, you could tell everybody what they had to do and they had to listen to you. Wouldn't that be great? If I wanted something, you get it, instead of vice versa. Okay. And anybody complained, shut up. And they'd have to shut up. And if they didn't, we'd just whack their head off. And, you know, wouldn't it be great, too, you know, that they would treat you with respect? Yes, sir. No, sir. Oh, yes, sir, I love my job. Oh, sir, yes, I'm as happy as a clam. Oh, that wouldn't that be great for just one day? Love it to be served. Unfortunately, we in the kingdom of God, it doesn't work for us that way. We're called to serve. It's tough because you see what it means is that now we have to put away our wants and our desires, and put others before us. To serve as a spouse means I put my spouse's desires before my own. To serve as a parent means that I actually put all of my wants and desires and put theirs ahead of mine. To serve in whatever the other individual becomes first, and I second. Actually, to tell you the truth, I guess what we are supposed to do is to give up everything for other people. I know we can't do that because we're not perfect. But that's what we're called to do. And I know I can't do it, and neither can you. There's only one source where we can go to find strength to do it. And that is in Jesus Christ. Because there we see true service. There we find the power to be a servant, because he was a servant. I pray, dear Lord, for all of us, that we, and at times, get our priorities to a point where we will really be willing to serve. Serve God. Serve one another. To serve others out there. Because you see, in the long run, when we feed the hungry and clothe the naked, water to the thirsty, visit those that are in prison, help those who are sick, we're doing it not just for them, but we're actually doing it for Christ. Moreover, we are becoming these little lights of Christ's love to others. And maybe, just maybe, that light will be enough that this door will open just a creak, and we will have an opportunity to share with them why we do what we do. Share with them the gospel. Amen.